This is Richard Grund. It's The Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio, Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I appreciate all of you. Appreciate you for listening and taking the time, for sharing, for edifying one another and edifying me. Thank you for your prayers. Would appreciate them now. My family's in the middle of a medical emergency, so this is recorded so that I can be at the hospital for my wife's surgery. I'm not going to go into any details, just you can pray accordingly. Father, we just come to you now in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We just thank you for you. Thank you for the cross and what it did for us and the promises that come from being reconciled to you as your children. Father, we come to you now as your children. We say, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. Bless us, be with us, heal us, deliver us, watch over us. Bless this time, bless my words. I pray you, Holy Spirit, that you would take what I'd say, even if I mess it up or mangle the words, make it right in the ear of the listener and make it do what the word's intention is to do. I thank you for being there to walk with us and to help us in the midst of all these things. Bless us, bless our time, bless our lives. Turn loose the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, help us in the midst of the storm, help us in this fallen world, and we just thank you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, and I pray this in Jesus, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we've been talking about the cross. We've been talking about the life-changing, life-saving effects of the cross. But did you know that there's another ripple effect to that decision? Trials and tribulations will come because we have made the choice for freedom. The Lord warned us in Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. You know, we talk about spiritual warfare, we talk about all these, colorful, dramatic things, but I'm not sure we really understand what we're talking about. We live in a fallen, demonically controlled world. We live in a war zone. And yes, while there have been needless casualties of war, the fact remains is there is a war. There has been since Hasatan, Satan the adversary, fell. There has been since mankind chose the fallen over the Almighty. And it increased after Calvary because we were given authority, all authority in heaven and earth, to stand against these things, and they didn't like it. I'm about to read to you a commonly quoted scripture. I just posted it on Facebook this week. It's Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul makes it really clear to the church in Ephesus that there's this unseen supernatural battle going on all around us 24/7. See, the fallen and their demonic offspring do not live in the reality of time. They live outside of time. We saw that this week when 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians were beheaded by ISIS on the beach in Libya. Christians are being slaughtered and martyred all over the world for their faith. Here in America, we see the rise in crime, immorality, and attacks against the faith, as well as the falling away within the faith. What we see is a world that has gone mad because it has a demonic hand upon it, and that it refuses the divine hand that wants to heal it. I read the story about a Christian who attended the regular prayer meetings, and he always prayed the same prayer, the same thing during testimony time. And his prayer always said, "O Lord, since we last gathered together, the cobwebs have come between us and thee. Clear away the cobwebs that we may again see thy face." And one day, after many weeks of hearing this prayer, another brother called out, "O Lord God, kill the spider." Well, you know what? You finally have to get to the place sometimes where you cry out, "O Lord, kill the spider. O Lord, deal with this. O Lord, destroy those things which seek to destroy me." You know, with what I do with SRT and what my guys do with me with SRT, for the Lord, not for me, we create adversaries. We create problems. We destroy the work of the enemy. We help set the captives free. We shut down access points and gateways and portals and things like that, which means we severely damage the coming and goings and the workings of the demonic kingdom and their armies. So therefore, there is a backlash. There is retaliation. And I've had some say to me, "Well, brother, why don't you stop doing that? Just do your teaching, just do your thing, and stop incurring the attention and the wrath of the enemy." And I can't do that. A, I've been called to do this. B, there are too many people out there that need help and not enough people to help them. And C, this war is going to go on whether I participate or not. If I were to suddenly say, "Well, that's it, I'm done, no more, I don't want any more retaliation, I don't want any more injuries, attacks, issues," the enemy's going to do it anyway. That's in his nature. The nature of the enemy is to do exactly what it does, so it's not going to stop until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back. So we battle on, and we continue. And while he's working on his end, we must stand on his word and his promises. In John 16:33, the Lord said, "These things I've spoken to you," which were warnings, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What is peace? Some of you just said, "Hey, what is peace?" Peace is quietness, rest, to set at one again. Peace is to be calm. What is the opposite of calm? Well, the opposite of being calm is excited, frenzied, rough, stormy, turbulent, violent, wild, agitated, disturbed, troubled. Well, I think a lot of us are troubled. We're troubled by what we see going on financially, politically, spiritually. We're troubled by what we see in the world. But sometimes it hits closer to home. We get troubled by the natural everyday events which take place, things that are out of your control. And at those moments, we need his peace. We need to run to the Word, open it up, turn to Philippians chapter 4, and read verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive. To be uneasy or apprehensive about an event or a matter, it means to worry. And as we well know, worrying doesn't change anything. All it does is harm us. So Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, gives us a spiritual formula that we can apply during these times. Prayer, which is worship. Supplication, which is the petition or the prayerful request. Done with thanksgiving or gratitude towards God. And then we clearly, distinctly make our request known to God. In doing so, at that moment, as you invoke that formula, the peace that supersedes all human understanding envelops you to guard your heart and your mind, and to take away the anxiousness that the enemy and the world and the situation in your flesh is trying to create, and it does that through the relationship with the Lord. Because, folks, in times like this, that's all you have. If you saw the video, the horrible videos of the Coptic Christians, many of them were saying the name of Jesus as they were being beheaded. And you would think, well, Lord, why didn't you stop that? Well, why didn't you stop this event? Why didn't you stop that sickness or that disease or that accident? Well, Lord, why didn't you? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? And I think that becomes the wrong question. Because we live in a world that until he comes back doesn't belong to him. And the safest place to be is with him. And the death of his saints is the glory to the Lord, because you go home and you get to be with him. And I'm not condoning death or suicide. Don't twist what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is this is not our home. And if for whatever reason he decides to take someone home, a loved one or otherwise, we have to trust that he knows what he's doing. That the outcome of his decisions are always right. But in the times of trouble, all you have left is him. All you have left is your faith. All you have left is the word, Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. There it is, peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Everybody wants an end result. I used to be a trainer. My oldest son is now a personal trainer. And people would come to me and they would say, well, I want to get in shape and this is the end result that I want. And I would look at them and say, well, that's great. I can do that for you. But do you have the perseverance and the willingness to do what it takes to get there? Sometimes we have to have perseverance to go on, even in the midst of the storm. As everything is raging around you and seems to be falling apart, we have to be able to look up and know that during those times, the anchor of our faith, the thing that keeps the ship from being destroyed and being washed out to sea or thrown against the rocks, the safe place that holds the ship in the storm is his love. You know, I've quoted this, I think last week or the week before, and I just saw it differently this morning. It's It's Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 35. Now listen to this from the perspective of being spoken to as if you're in a storm or a tribulation, and you're looking for answers. Can anything ever separate us from Messiah's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Messiah who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. And as I saw that, and that was the New Living Translation, which put it into the perspective I was trying to get across, is that as these things go on, it's his love you can count on. That no matter what is happening in the natural, in the supernatural, in the spiritual, his love endures. Therefore, you endure. And nothing the enemy can do. Yes, those demonically possessed people in ISIS did slaughter those 21 Egyptian Christians who, like sheep, were slaughtered. And they stepped off this reality and into his reality and into his love. And I feel incredibly sorrow, sad, pained for their families and their loved ones. But they have faith, A, of knowing where they are, and B, that they'll see them again. And folks, it's going to get worse. It was prophesied to get worse. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, nothing in all creation can separate you from his love. And because of that, because of what we endure, because of what we go through, because of all these things, we have comfort in the suffering. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves comforted by God. That sounds pretty comfortable to me. And I'm not joking there, I'm being serious. New Living Translation tweaks it a little bit and says, all praise to our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. See, the great thing is when he pours into us, he pours out of us if we let him. So that when you go through what you go through, and then somebody you know goes through the same thing, you can share with them his love, his comfort, his peace. You can walk with them through it. You can be a living witness in this crazy world to what he does. That's what this is all about. You know, in Romans, Paul admonishes them in chapter 12, starting with verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, one of the things I mentioned in my book, The Supernatural Battle, that at the end when I talked about prayer, of praying for the believers around the world, praying for Israel, Jerusalem, praying that for the peace of Jerusalem, which can only happen when the King of Peace returns. So essentially what I'm praying for is the return of the Lord. I pray for the martyrs. I pray for the victims of injustice. I pray for the innocents that are slaughtered both in this world and in the womb. And I try to personalize it and visualize it and make sure that the words that are coming from my mouth come from my heart, that they originate there. And I try to continue steadfastly, in prayer with them so that somewhere, somebody has somebody praying for them. And that my prayers enter into his universe and through the way he designed things, make it to the person that needs it. We're not in this alone, folks. We're in this together. And when we go through tribulations, when we go through trials, when we go through the things that we go through, we must hold on to his love. We must hold on to our faith in him. And we must believe that he knows what he's doing, even when we don't. Let me leave you. I'm going to do a shortened version tonight with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah. We are bound to thank God always for you, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of our God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Let him deal with the tribulation. Let him deal with those that have inflicted it, whether it's society, whether it's the fallen. Claim it, believe it, receive it, speak it. Remember that the minute you open your eyes and set your foot on the ground from the bed, the war has begun. You live in a war zone. Don't leave your house without praying. Pray for your loved ones. Pray over your home. Pray over your pets. Pray over everything you hold dear, because all of those are a target to the enemy. And never falter. And never take it for granted. Well, nothing has happened in a while. Everything must be good. I am covered. And do not believe the lie that some people will tell you, hey, you don't have to do this. The Lord's got it all covered. Tell that to the 21 Coptic Christians. Tell that to the Christians all over the Middle East and Syria and elsewhere that are being slaughtered, beheaded, raped, sold into slavery. No, we need to pray, we need to resist, we need to push back, we need to stand, we need to put on the armor of God, and then let the Lord do the rest. He's working with us. We're not alone. He hasn't forsaken us. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Though it's difficult, we glory in the persecution and the tribulations of this world. As they produce perseverance in us, we share that with others. We comfort others, we stand with them, we pray for them. Now, Father, rain down your glory and your peace and your love upon each and every one of us, upon me and my family during this time. We pray for those that have no faith, Lord, and we pray that you'd send them faith. We pray for those that feel alone and abandoned, that you would send someone to them, and just to say the Lord wants you to know he's with you and he loves you. We stand with those that have no hope, Lord, that are in the midst of demonic torment and trials and think no one cares and no one's going to come. Sustain them and hold them, Lord. Help them to endure. And if it's your desire and your will for me and SRT to go help them, then you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. You'll open the door, you'll provide the funding, you'll set the machine in motion. But until that time, whoever helps them, guard them, surround them with your angels and a Psalm 91 covering. Now, Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for who you are. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have not changed. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus, in Yeshua's name. Amen. You know, we haven't done a prayer night, and I don't know if I will specifically do one, but if you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them in. Use the Firefall Talk Radio website for now. The porch one is still not up and running. So use that one for now. Say, hey, I listened to the show, and I'm sending you a praise report or a prayer request, and we'll include them at the beginning. And we'll just make it a regular occurrence whenever they occur. Keep me and my family in your prayers today, tonight, over the next couple of weeks as we go through our trial and tribulation and deal with the effects of living in a fallen world. Keep me and my team, SRT, in your prayers and cover us and stand fast in the faith. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grun. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.
What you gotta do?